today on Real Radio.
There are people increasingly saying, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to go to church anymore. How come? I've heard 1,000 sermons. I've heard it all. That's dangerous. You're not supposed to come to church to hear a sermon. You're supposed to come to church to do a sermon. You can't do a sermon at home. Well, we watch online. I understand that. If you live in the North Pole, we're welcome. But if you live in the vicinity of people, for crying out loud, get together, grab a Bible, open it up.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That God Has a Plan, continues now in his series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences. But how do these beliefs stack up to Scripture? This series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. The Bible tells us over and over again that God has a plan for us as believers. It's a plan that honors God and fulfills our reason for living. A plan, from God's perspective, is an orderly arrangement of thoughts, strategies, concepts, and methods with the intent to create or to achieve. And when we allow God's plan to work in us, we'll discover our purpose in life, and it will be a life full of expectation, hope, and motivation. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we all need God's plan because it communicates his vision for us, and the good work that he begins in us, he promises to complete. God's thoughts for us are of peace and not of evil, and to give us a future and a hope. And now, continuing his lesson called, Who Told You That God Has a Plan? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We all desire a plan of some sorts in our lives. Where does that come from? Ultimately from God. Don't fight it. Give in to him. It's true. We desire a plan. Why? Because we need a plan to stay on target, to stay focused on target. You've probably heard that saying, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. That's a great word. Be focused. As a Christian, I'm really big on this. Create some structure for you to be focused in your Christian life. Why? Because God has a plan for your life. Create time, make it, write it down, print it out if you have to. This is when I get up, this is when I pray, this is when I read my Bible, this is when I read other good books, this is when I, go ahead and do that. Personally, I love that, and I think that might be why during the day I'm kind of footloose. It's like, God first, after that, whatever, Lord, you want. And I enjoy living like that. For some of you, it'd give you a heart attack, I get that. But we're different people. We're not supposed to be like each other, but have a target. Listen, what does that target look like? You say, Jack, you're telling me that, but what do I do? Here it is. This is a tattoo now for your right arm. Right arm. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. This is it. How do we have a target? What's the target? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, have a good reputation. If there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthiness to that, meditate on these things. Focus, discipline your mind to the target. This is good. This is wholesome. This is right. This is God-honoring. This will please the Lord. Because everything you hear, everything you see, Jesus is hearing and Jesus is looking at. You want to remember that. Have a target. Secondly, plans result in unity. People are brought together in unity with a plan. God has a plan for your life. Listen, this shouldn't be a shock. Are you a Christian today? It's God's will. Oh, this is going to step on some toes. Actually, not your toes, because you're here. There are people increasingly saying, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to go to church anymore. How come? I've heard 1,000 sermons. I've heard it all. That's dangerous. You're not supposed to come to church to hear a sermon. You're supposed to come to church to do a sermon. You can't do a sermon at home. Well, we watch online. I understand that. If you live in the North Pole, we're welcome. We're glad you're with us. But if you live in the vicinity of people, for crying out loud, get together, grab a Bible, open it up. And if you don't have that kind of stuff, then get people online, turn on your computer, get people together and join us in a service. But get together with people. You say, well, people drive me nuts. They're supposed to drive us nuts. But they're Christians. We're related. Everybody related drives each other nuts. It's called family. Drives you crazy. Yeah, but that Christian takes my parking spot every time. He's supposed to rip you off like that. You got to go over there and say, hey, you shouldn't be taking my parking spot, or you shouldn't be, what's the deal, or whatever. You're supposed to interface with each other. Seriously, think about it. No, it's just too hard. You're just going to stay home. The Bible says in the last days, people are going to give up getting together. That's not good. Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of people here. A lot of people love. Yeah, I know, but this is just a big crowd. Big crowds have big needs. And by the way, you know what? By all means, go to a little church. That's fine. Go to a little church. Guess what you find in a little church? Big needs. Just like you find in a big church. It's just that in a big church, there's a whole lot of problem with a whole lot of answers. It doesn't matter where you go. You're not going to escape the family of God. You can go to Mars, and there'll probably be somebody there from Calvary Chapel or something. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfast. Note this, number one, priority first, doctrine. Unity. You can never have unity. Oh, listen, pastor, let's just preach love. Of course, because we need unity. Yes, the brethren need to dwell together in unity. Well, you know what? Unity, this is our church motto, unity above all else. Then you're in a messed up church. And I'll tell you why. Unity can only come after doctrine. Because what are you going to unify behind? Are you hearing me? What are you going to rally around? Doctrine, look at the apostles preached the word, the church was growing, the brand new church in Jerusalem gathered together around, listen, doctrine first. Fellowship is ministry one to another. Third, breaking of bread. That's intimate, isn't it? Breaking bread, you know, eating together. It's like, man, that's getting close. Well, man, that's dipping bread in the same bucket in that culture. I mean, you take pita and you, pita from the same loaf, everybody in the same hummus. That's close. Passing the cup, that's close. You get to know one another like that. Is that too personal for us? Man, dude, you're in my space. Right? We get in elevators, it's like, listen, early Christians, they hugged each other. Look what else. It says that they prayed. Any people in here thinking about marrying somebody? I got a tip. Don't marry them until you spend some time praying with them. Because you can talk to them for hours, but you can know them in 5 minutes of prayer. Thirdly and finally, and this is where we end, and this is vitally important, don't leave. This is serious business. We all need a plan. If I had to change this point at all, I would say this: we all need God's plan. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand if I ask if you're a Christian. I'm just gonna say this to you. Is the plan of God the plan that's active in your life today? Or am I the kind of Christian that is saying, Jesus, I've laid all these things out before you. This is what I see. This is what I want. Now I'm asking you to bless this. Not thy will be done, my will be done. We would never admit that. But are we yielding to God's plan? In Proverbs 14, verse 20, the Bible says there's a way, a plan that seems right to a man, but the end is the plan of death. You see, Pastor, I already have a plan. If your plan is apart from God, it doesn't end well. You need to know that. God's plan, listen, three things, communicates vision. God's plan communicates vision. When I say vision, I'm not talking about something appearing. I'm talking about all the way. Listen, church, all the way to the end. God communicates to us, does he not, in his Bible, I'll get you through to the end. How so? Listen, Jeremiah 29:11. Don't you love the verse? But do you know it? Jeremiah 29:11. Listen, everybody, for I know the thoughts. This is God speaking. The word means I know the texture. I know the thoughts, God says, I think of you. I know the texture, not only the thought, but I can feel them. God is saying, I can feel the thoughts that I think toward you. Don't you love it? I do. This is my life verse, by the way, says the Lord. Thoughts, textured feelings of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you love that? Church, listen, participate right now. Is that verse true or false? That's in your Bible, yeah? But is it in the Bible of the Syrians that are being persecuted for being Christians right now? Is it in their Bible? Yes. Oh, well, okay. Is it in the Bible in Iraq? Yes. What about the Bibles in Vietnam right now, where they're cutting tongues off of Christians so they don't preach the gospel? How does that verse work in inland China where they're persecuting the underground church? Ah, you see where I'm going with this? What kind of God is this? Is this an American verse for the U.S.? No, it's a universal verse given to all of God's people. God says, I know the thoughts I think about you. I can feel it. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. See, look, church, you and I think along this line right here like an ant walking on a table. We want it nice and simple. Just keep it sweet. And then people come to town that want to behead you in some way, shape, or another. And you've got to square with something. In our culture, beheading maybe is a lawsuit. In our culture, maybe beheading is your boss fires you. Fill in the blank. What is going on? Has God abandoned you? If God doesn't heal you, has he abandoned you? If you got a note from the doctor, you've got 3 months to live and you're a Christian, you love Jesus, and all of a sudden you're thinking, is this how you treat your people? Dear friends, God has a wonderful plan for your life. It's just that he's defined the word wonderful, and he's defined the word plan, not some TV evangelist. God says, I got it. I'm not forsaking you. I have for you, Christian, a tailor prescribed step by step, moment by moment, designed for your life from birth to end, and it's perfect. And listen, this message of the cross and of Christ and of the Bible must fit in every culture, all around the world, of every era. Are you with me? Do you understand that? If I'm preaching a word to you that I cannot preach to the Christians in Syria, something's wrong. Are you with me? Oh, God wants you wealthy, healthy, and wise. Preach that in Sudan. Watch out, there's false prophets and false teachers afoot. God's wonderful plan for your life is that even in death, look, hello, newsflash, all of you are gonna pay more taxes in California, and all of us are gonna die. How are you going to die? You don't know. I don't know. Heart attack, cancer, truck, airplane, murder, skateboard, banana. How's it gonna go? We don't know. Will God have abandoned you in that moment? No. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Boy, that's a big it. Until the day of Christ, meaning God's gonna work on your life until you open your eyes and see Jesus. True or false? It's true. It's true even for the believers that are in prison in North Korea. Still true. Their imprisonment, God will work out for the ultimate good. And you say, Jack, I don't understand that. He didn't ask us to understand it. He told us to trust him. Oh, here's a big one. We're almost done. Here's a big one. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28 to 31. And we know that all things work together for good. The word means in the end. All things conclude to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There you go. For whom he foreknew, that is, before time ever began, he knew you. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Isn't that amazing? And all of these difficulties and challenges, why does he do this? To make us more like Jesus. It's the only way. Never by have an easy street. He's with us on tough street. Verse 31, this is awesome. What then shall we say to these things, says the great apostle? Since God is for us, who can be against us? It's a great exclamation. If the world be gathered against us, nothing that they form can do anything to us. The whole context of the verse is in a hostile environment. The world's good. Jesus said, listen, the world hated me, they're gonna hate you. Listen, Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're gonna persecute you. Jesus said in the last days, listen, before I come back, among Christians, he says, family will betray family. Child, parent. Parent, child. All for my name's sake. God hasn't abandoned you. But Pastor, my husband left me because I'm a Christian. God, he may abandon you. God's not going to abandon you. We need to get this under our belt. Listen, what if next month the North Koreans nuke us? What if a dirty bomb blows up in LA? What if the dollar collapses? What if you get the note that your child is terminally ill? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? You're gonna run to these verses. And you're gonna say, Jesus, didn't you say you'd never leave me nor forsake me? Yes, I did. Didn't you say that all things are working together for good to those? And even in the midst of a hostile environment, the verse is just as true now as it was 2,000 years ago? Yes, it is. That I must conclude that you are working in this situation with my kid. He may not cause it, but he'll use it. And then listen, to prove my point and to set you up for this, you guys, in your margins, just write this down. You can look at it later. Go look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 lists names of great people of God that changed the world. And then it says, and there were others as well. Who? Were sawed in half. Who hid in the rocks and dens of caves. Who were beaten and tortured and killed. Some, it says, who were wrapped in sheepskin, and that's a term back in those days to release them to the lions. They wrapped them in dead sheepskins because they thought that was cool. They did this to Christians. Did God abandon them? Did those verses fail? Not at once. All right, so listen. John the Baptist, you know who he is? He was beheaded in Judea in 30 AD. Did God fail him? You know Stephen in your Bible, book of Acts? He was stoned to death in Jerusalem in 33. Did God leave him? Philip was crucified in Phrygia in 54 AD. Matthew was beheaded in Ethiopia. Barnabas burned to death in Cyprus. Mark's gospel, dragged to death by a chariot in Alexandria, Egypt. James the Less, clubbed to death in Jerusalem in 66. Paul the Apostle, beheaded in Rome in 66. Peter, crucified in Rome, 69. Andrew, crucified in Achaia, 70 AD. Thomas, speared to death in India, 72. Luke, hanged in Athens in 93 AD. These are your brothers and sisters of ours. God never failed one of them. Christian, God loves you. He's getting you through. He has a wonderful plan for your life. It may not be the way that you and I define it, but in the end, when we stand before him, we will say in that day, no matter how you and I suffer in this life, when he's done doing his thing and you see the fruit, the impact, and the building that it did, how God raised you up as a believer to be a witness to others, you will say in that day, I wouldn't change a thing. Can you trust him with that? Can you rest in him with that? There's no surviving the days ahead if we don't. That's how much he loves you. If you're not a Christian today, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. He rose again from the dead. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem. I've seen it 18 times. He's gone. You're not going to find his bones anywhere. There's no DNA. There's no dust hanging around. He's in heaven just like he said he was going to do. Go back to heaven. He's going to come back too. He could come back at any day. I hope it's today. It's hot outside. But for us as believers, this is as hot as it gets. For non-believers, this is a cold day. Don't go to hell. Why would you go there? He doesn't want you to go there. That's insane. Make your way to the one who loves you. Father, we thank you, God, for your truth, for your word. We will all, I have no doubt, we will all by the Holy Spirit be remembered or remember this day when a challenge hits us. We might be driving home today to a great challenge. We could be on the road today when the challenge visits us. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' precious name that you would cause us to see, Lord, truly, that you do have a wonderful plan for our lives. It is a plan that you have tailor-made for each of us as individuals. And as long as we walk with you, we can embrace what comes and rest under the everlasting arms of such an awesome God who tells us the truth up front. So, Father, if there's anyone here today that does not yet know you, may you speak to them and draw her into yourself. For us as Christians today, as we leave this building now, may we be galvanized against taking wrongly the things of this life. May we filter everything through our great Father's eyes. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You That God Has a Plan? Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you are experiencing life to the fullest. It happens when you put your trust in God. Who Told You That God Has a Plan is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's goodness, and His plan for our lives. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ, or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? Great sermons from Pastor Jack brought to you every Friday. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Watch tab. Join us for the Real Life TV program every Friday morning. And by the way, you know we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. Here's a great idea. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. It's a great way for you to be encouraged and take advantage of the tools and resources that are available as you grow in your relationship with God with the Real Life app. The Bible is right there available for you on the app, mobile friendly. You can read, you can listen, and the one-year Bible plan is right there too. So get involved with the Real Life app. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.